The death of Ayatollah Khamenei has created one of the most consequential succession moments in Iranian political history, and the events of this past week are genuinely difficult to read with confidence. Let's lay out what we know. Khamenei's funeral processions began Friday, with delegations from over 100 countries arriving in Tehran. Iran's military chief used the occasion to deliver a vow of revenge against the United States and Israel. Simultaneously, there's an active U.S.-Iran nuclear negotiation underway that apparently has made enough progress that France felt comfortable pulling its Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier out of the Persian Gulf.
That France move is the one I keep coming back to, Sarah, because France doesn't pull a carrier battle group out of a high-tension theater casually. That's a significant diplomatic signal. The French assessment is that the deal progress is real enough to reduce the threat of military confrontation in the near term. And we've also seen the U.S. economy formally avoid what analysts were calling a potential wartime recession scenario, partly because those Iran peace talks have been proceeding, which eases oil supply concerns and reduces the geopolitical risk premium baked into markets.
But the contradiction is right there on the surface. You have France withdrawing military assets because of deal progress, and simultaneously you have Iran's military leadership standing at a state funeral, pledging retaliation against the U.S. and Israel. Some of that is performative. Iranian military commanders vowing revenge at state funerals is a predictable political ritual. But the underlying tension between the hardliners who will shape whoever succeeds Khamenei and the negotiating teams working on a nuclear deal is not performative. That tension is structural, and it will determine whether any deal survives the succession.
The Iran floating oil stockpile number tells you a lot about the economic pressure on Tehran right now. Iranian oil sitting on tankers at sea has topped 58 million barrels as buyers are backing away, partly because secondary sanctions risk makes purchasing Iranian oil financially dangerous for most international buyers, and partly because the deal uncertainty makes long-term purchasing commitments unattractive. 58 million barrels is roughly 20 days of Iran's entire oil production capacity sitting idle at sea. That's an enormous economic pressure point, and it explains why the Iranian side has incentives to reach some kind of agreement, even as hardliners perform defiance.
There's also a Colombian dimension to this week's Iran-adjacent diplomacy story. President Gustavo Petro has formally asked the Trump administration to remove him from U.S. sanctions lists. Petro has been a consistently vocal critic of U.S. policy, particularly toward Venezuela, and his relationship with Washington has been combative. Asking Trump to remove sanctions is a significant gesture that reflects economic pressure inside Colombia and suggests that even leaders who have built their political identity on anti-U.S. posturing are recalibrating given the current administration's willingness to use economic tools aggressively.
The assassination bounty story out of Iran is something we need to address directly. A state-organized rally near Tehran launched what was described as a gold collection campaign, offering a reported 100 kilograms of gold as a bounty for anyone who kills either President Trump or Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. This is not a fringe action. It was state-organized and occurred within sight of the funeral processions. The coexistence of active nuclear diplomacy with explicit, state-sanctioned assassination incitement tells you something about the internal incoherence of Iranian governance during a succession period. Different power centers are sending completely different signals simultaneously.
For Washington, this creates a genuinely complex negotiating environment. The State Department has to simultaneously pursue a potential nuclear agreement that could be in U.S. interests while publicly condemning state-sanctioned assassination calls. The Trump administration's response to that particular dynamic will be worth watching closely.